In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Morning.
Good morning, brother.
It's good to see you again. We have a few things to announce. Today is the day when our junior Catholic daughters have something really special to like. But what is it?
Baby Cake Sunday.
It's the Sunday of them. We have a proclamation that I'm going to read right now. So if whoever has that could bring that up, we'll make sure to read it here at the beginning. During the time of the announcements. First announcement, though, before I get into that, is that we have, the candles. Remember, a couple weeks ago, it was Candlemas, and we blessed all those candles. They were really beautiful out there, set up. Well, if you still are looking for blessed candles, you can come to the office and receive some of those that are there, all the candles and everything you want. We got a really good deal on the five-day candles, and if you'd like to somehow get them from us in that way, you know, Lucy has it in the office, a great deal, $5 for the five-day candle. It's really nice. Take them there if you want them. Or if you've got other candles that you have at home that you never got them blessed, we'll bring them to the office. Deacon or I will take care of making sure they're blessed. We want you to be able to have those candles in your home to remind you of the light of Christ that's supposed to be burning, reminding you not to lose hope even in the darkest moments. That's why the church is always having candles. There's a significance in that. I think I wrote an article on that a week or two ago. Secondly, we're having this upcoming week a new daily Mass schedule. It's going to be different for me, different for you. There was a desire to see what really works best for those who are here. So we're going to have Mass at noon just this week. It's a trial thing. To have Mass at noon 10, 12:30. So if you desire to catch Mass on your lunch break, you can come over to the church. We'll have that short Mass there. You can receive Holy Communion there if you're prepared to be able to do so. And then go back to work. Or if you wish to stay, we'll have adoration all the way for the hour after. We'll conclude adoration with benediction at 2 p.m. So Mass should end sometime before probably about 45. There at the time. We'll do adoration there, and we'll go for an hour of adoration there. So my math is correct. I don't know. I'm not a math major. Whatever it is, an hour there. We'll make sure that Mass, that the adoration happens there. If that's not a good time for you to have daily Mass, and you want to be a part of daily Mass at any time, let me know. I want to do what works for you. I'm willing to do Mass anytime, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. 6 a.m. Mass is a little hard for me to do. All prayer I got to do ahead of time before that. So 6 a.m. is not going to work. But 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., anytime in there, if you want to have Mass, let me know. We'll see what works for everybody there. It doesn't have to be the same time every day, but maybe a staggered schedule will work to be able to help people, be able to assist at Holy Mass whenever it is that you can make it for Holy Mass. I'm going to do Mass every day of my life, and I'm going to adore the Lord and the Blessed Sacrament every day of my life. Just when we're going to work those out, it's up to you. It's your parish. Also, every Friday, we have the Stations of the Cross that we're going to be praying all there in the evening. If you're not able to make it for that for some reason, we've been trying to live stream it. We did it this week, and I think it went really well. So even though it's not quite the same as being able to be present for it, we want to extend that. I think it was well attended by those who viewed it online as well. So we'll try to keep that up the best that we can, pending no technical difficulties during that time. Now, before I get into the next announcement, we'll do the Junior Catholic Daughters of America proclamation. So will the young ladies of the Junior Catholic Daughter please stand? We just have a few today, it looks like, physically with us. So the Junior Catholic Daughters of the Americas, your 2021 JCDA proclamation. Whereas the Junior Catholic Daughters of the Americas was established on February 22, 1926, to create a national youth program for Catholic girls ages 6 through 18. And whereas the goals and objectives of the JCDA program is divided into a threefold message of service, community, including the motto, be useful, and a standard of love God, serve others, live nobly. And whereas the Junior Catholic Daughters, having an active faith in God, experience personal and spiritual growth through the liturgy of Mass, prayer, and faith-based activities. And whereas each Junior Catholic Daughter participates in enriching their lives through service to others in their family, parish, community, and world, following Christ's example, what I have done, you must also do, John 13, 13-25. And whereas opportunity to be provided, each junior calf and daughter is a lifelong journey leading to the development of leadership skills. Therefore, let it be resolved that each junior calf and daughter seek meaningful behaviors with joy and gladness to fulfill the JCDA program, and be it further resolved that each Sunday, this particular Sunday, February 21st, 2021, be observed as the 94th annual National Junior Catholic Daughters of the Americas Day. This Immaculate Heart of Mary Council, Court, rather, 2276 Santa Rosa, New Mexico, I wish to present to you, the President, this proclamation of the day. If you'll come forward here, Katrina Velasquez. There you go. May under your tutelage and under your leadership, the Junior Catholic Daughters here within our parish, which is the second in the state, be prospered. And may many of you young ones who want to be involved in living out your Catholic life in a more profound way seek to be a part of this group. Here's the young lady to speak to. Thank you so much. Let's give a round of thanks for them, for what God has done. The last announcement is that you already have a handout within your pews. A couple weeks ago, you were supposed to do the pitch for the annual campaign for the Catholic ACA, Annual Catholic Appeal. That's the word, appeal. Sorry, I'm looking at it in Spanish, not wanting to say it in Spanish, but it's better. So the Annual Catholic Appeal is something that we've been doing in the Archdiocese pretty much as long as I've been alive, which maybe not be so long to some of you, but that is still an extensive period of time. The ACAA program is really important to be able to do good for our parish, to make sure that we're contributing what it is that our archdiocese needs, not just for our individual parish, but also for the greater needs of the church that we have. Now, you may think that, well, I just want to make sure that the things going on here in Santa Rosa and my parish here within the missions are well taken care of. But we can't be so parochial in what our desires are, but realize that we have responsibilities that extend far beyond us, and there are others who take care of us in a smaller parish. For example, one of the ways in which the ACA helps out that is really active in what's going on in our parish right now, you know that we have the mission of, we have lots of missions. I see some of you here from Pindad out there in Milagro. The mission in San Ignacio recently just had a terrible destruction that happened to the roof came flying off. Well, because of that, we have to do some repairs on that to be able to do so, and to be able to make sure that everything is well taken care of, and that our beautiful church, where so many of our forefathers were received their sacraments before us, are taken care of, even these buildings that are out there, in a place where maybe not as many people live, even during this time. Well, if a parish or a mission is not able to help do those repairs, the ACA is able to contribute some money to be able to help those repairs be done, to make sure that those historical churches, as well as our missions, which are still used on occasion when we're able to do so, are well taken care of. So if we're not able to do that, then the ACA is able to pull on funds to be able to help that, not just for our parish, but for all the many missions throughout our 400-year-old diocese. That's 400 years of faith that we've had here. In addition to that, we do all sorts of programs to help out those who are beleaguered minorities, those who need Mass in particular languages, to make sure that the Mass is broadcast not just through live streams on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, but also within the airwaves as well. All sorts of great things. But the greatest thing for me, the thing that I always think of the most when I think about why I contribute to the ACA, is because of what it does to make sure that young men are able to study for the priesthood, to make sure that young men, or maybe not as young men, are able to become deacons for the archdiocese. Last night, we had one of our diaconal candidates, who's from Newkirk, that's the extent of our parish out there to the east. He was here at our Mass, brought his family here with us, and wasn't planning on it, but had him stand up in 2 years. Mr. Stephen Branch will be a deacon for us here within the Archdiocese. And it takes a lot of money to be able to train a deacon. He contributes a very small amount. In the Archdiocese, he takes care of the great bulk of what it takes to train him, to make sure he has the education in order to bring us the sacraments and also to be able to be formed in order to preach, which they're taking classes on right now. In addition to that, we have two young men, which I talked to you about a number of weeks ago, from our own parish, who are going to study for the priesthood. We're asking the question whether they're called to the priesthood. And to be able to do so, that's not an inexpensive thing to be able to do. I went to the university near Mom for my formal education because that was the cheapest thing that my family could even begin to afford. I don't come from a particularly well-to-do family. But even after that, to study for the priesthood, I paid not a single penny for any of my education. It was because of funds from the ACA, from people who contributed just specifically to seminarians, that I was able to have a free ride and not have to worry about anything financially speaking when I was doing those preparations for the priesthood. It's not an inexpensive thing to do. And that's why even though I give a good deal of what it is that I earn in my monthly salary to be able to contribute that back to the ACA for that purpose, if I were to live even 100 years, I wouldn't even begin to fully pay back the Archdiocese for what it is that they've done and made an investment in me as a priest. And so as we need many more priests to be able to serve our community within the future, part of what it is that we do, and a great bulk of it, that's the greatest expense, goes to cover the seminarian expenses that are there. So I ask you to be generous in your ACA, just as I am going to be as well. The goal is just $12,000, which is nothing. Absolutely nothing in the grand scheme of things. And our parish should easily be able to meet that. But last year, we were $6,000 shy, which is shameful, really. Because that's not very much to be able to contribute. We only got halfway there. And so what we need is each of us to be able to contribute what it is that we can to be able to do so. It's really easy to figure out how to make those contributions. If you have any questions on that, you can talk to us in the office. We'll get you situated for that. I don't want to have to push this on you in some sort of way, because I know you're a generous people. That's why Campus Beautiful Church is. That's why everything is so well taken care of, and why I really never talk about finances in our parish. But we need a lot of help now. So I trust that to your care. Now for a little bit upon the gospel. Jesus was driven by the Holy Spirit in the desert to be tempted 40 days by Satan. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's an eternal truth of the faith that I've mentioned to you many times before. But I want to hit it on you again. Everything it is that Jesus does, everything it is that our blessed Lord does, is to teach you. That nothing is left up to chance. That every word, every syllable that proceeds from the mouth of our blessed Lord is necessary. There's nothing that's superfluous in Scriptures. And because of that, I want to do a little Bible study. Just to look at those first two verses, really it's half of our very short gospel, and tell you what each word means, why it's important, and how helpful it is for you and me for the whole of our lives, particularly in Lent. So if you want to take the proof text right there, read right there, and see that I am explaining every single word that's in there, go ahead and pull your text out there, right there in your little books there. So what does it say? Immediately after the baptism, which happens in Mark chapter 1:1, that's Mark 1:11, here we are in verse 12, it says, the Holy Spirit drove our blessed Lord Jesus out into the desert. So why is it he's driven out into the desert? Here's the reason. It's because Jesus needed to go to the place where the devil could find him. Go to the place where the devil could find him. Why does he need to go there? The scripture teaches us this, that the devil, that the demons live, that they dwell in places that are deserted, places that are desert places, arid places, where there is no other life. Our blessed Lord speaks about this in the gospel in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, and Luke 11, 24. It says, when an impure spirit or a demon is cast out of a person, it goes through desert, deserted, arid places, seeking rest. But it doesn't find rest. Because all it wants to do is destroy human souls and get them to follow them and not God. So why is it that Jesus is tempted immediately after his baptism? Here's the reason. It's an encouragement for you. So that when you and I, every baptized person, can know that when we are tempted, that we can patiently endure them after our baptism, just like our Blessed Lord. You shouldn't be distracted. You shouldn't be surprised or even worried in the slightest bit if you encounter temptations in this life. We should expect them. That's the norm. It happened exactly the same way to Jesus, who is God and man. So why would it be any different for you and me, who are formed in the very image of God, in the image of Jesus, through our baptism? But it doesn't have to be the end of the story. Because just like we're taking on the image of Christ in our baptism, so too that means we have the power of Christ with us, meaning that we can be conquerors over Satan and his temptations, just like he was the 40 days and 40 nights of his temptation. Well, why does God allow us to be tempted in the first place? See, John Chrysostom, one of the great doctors of the church, tells us this, that God permits human persons to endure temptation so that we can see how terrifying the devil is of us. Just like the devil is terrified of our Blessed Lord Jesus. Did you know that Satan's terrified of you? He absolutely is. He's absolutely terrified of you and me. Why? Because the devil doesn't waste his time. He's a powerful creature. He doesn't waste his time to attack anyone unless that person can do great things. Did you know that you can do great things? God has called you for great things. He's called you for great things, and you can do them. So that's why the devil will seek to attack you. So if you're attacked by the devil, you're tempted by the devil, it should remind you that in the person of Jesus Christ, you and I are actually very powerful. Powerful enough that the devil knows that he has to try to destroy you. That he has to try to tempt you, to throw you off your game. Because if he doesn't, he knows that you might cause the whole of his kingdom to fall. That's why he has to attack you. You're powerful. You have the power of Christ living within you to destroy the kingdom of the devil. And that should leave you in awe. Fact that you are tempted. It means that you're actually really strong. So why does it say in the next line of scripture? It says Jesus was driven into the desert by the Holy Spirit. Why was he driven by the Holy Spirit? It shows you of divine providence that God, he is in control of everything. God, the very same God who brought our blessed Lord to the River Jordan to encounter John the Baptist, is the same God who determined him to be driven into the desert to be tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. It's all a part of God's plan. He's guiding and leading it on. So the message for you and me is what? Don't walk into temptation. Only go there when the Spirit leads you to temptation. Don't go to a place where you're weak. All of us, we know we're weak. I'm very weak. I know my temptations. I know my struggles. So I go to confession every week. What is your temptation? What's your weakness? Is it pride? Is it anger? Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's envy or gluttony. It could be sloth, that movement that keeps you in saying, no, I don't really need to have friendship with God now. I might as well not pray. What is it that you're weak? You and I are only going to be conquerors in the temptation, the struggles that we have, if we do our part in avoiding those places. We know where it is that we fall. We know what times it usually is. We know what persons lead us away from God. We need to avoid those things and not walk into temptation. To stay away from those things that tempt us. But when you and I are forced, when you and I are driven into a moment of temptation, then that should give us confidence. Because we know if we're driven into it, then who's driving us into it? God. And that means we have all the power to be able to overcome it. How do I know this? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this. This is St. Paul. Hold on to this. So important. He tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he says, quote, no temptation has overtaken you which is not common to all mankind. Because God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But with the temptation, he will also provide you a way, a means of escape, that you may be able to endure. No temptation seized you which is not common to every other human being. There's always a way that he provides for you and me to get out of it. God is with us. His divine providence is with us. His power in us is able to conquer every single temptation in our lives, just as his power is able to conquer every temptation which Christ faced 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. That's the next line. Next line in the scripture is what? That Jesus remained in the desert 40 days and 40 nights. Why is that? It's because Jesus needed to weaken himself. Weaken himself to the point where he would be the weakest the human body, the human soul, the human person in his fullness could ever be. He endured what? Hunger, frustration, lack of companionship, tiredness. All these things which are common to human beings, and he had to get to his lowest point. I want to give you an acronym here that will help you in the moment of your temptation and your difficulty. It's just four letters, an easy phrase. H-A-L-T. H-A-L-T. What does that spell? You don't know? Halt. Good. Thanks for helping me out. Halt. Halt. That's what it means. H-A-L-T. Halt. So whenever it is, what does it stand for? It stands for hungry, angry, lonely, tired. So whenever it is that you're hungry, or you're angry, or you're lonely or tired, know that you are in a moment of vulnerability and temptation. So what you need to do is halt. Stop where it is that you're at. Evaluate what's going on in your soul, what your vulnerability is to temptation, and address whatever it is that you need to do. Because if you don't, you're going to fall. You're humanly weak. Hungry. If you're hungry, what do you need to do? Get something to eat. Not sugary food that's just going to fly through you and mess you up. But something substantial. If you're hungry, that's if you're angry, being frustrated. What do you need to do? It means a physical movement needs to happen. Go to a different room within your house. And do a little exercise in some sort of way. That'll work that tension and frustration out of you. That's hungry, that's angry. What about when you're lonely? Lonely, that means reach out. Send a text message to a friend. Give somebody a call that's there. Engage with somebody. Be in the presence of other people, whether you communicate with them or not. It changes everything. This is where prayer comes involved. Because you know that every Catholic, every Christian, has a direct line to God and to the saints who are always on our triumph, on our side to help us get up. So that's what we do when we're lonely. But what about when we're tired? What should you do when you're tired? That's right, go to sleep. Go to sleep. Don't spend up late at night and say, I'm going to watch another YouTube video. I'm going to spend a little bit more time doing this. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on the internet. No. Time to just go to sleep. That way those temptations don't attack that tiredness that is there. If you evaluate yourself on this frequently, you're going to be successful. H-A-L-T. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. You'll be successful. If you've got one vulnerability, it means it's a warning. If you've got two vulnerabilities, it means danger, the red light's flashing. If you've got three vulnerabilities, it means brace for impact because the temptation is going to smack you. If you've got four vulnerabilities, sadly, it means you probably have already fallen. Because the human person can't long endure all those things without the true grace of God. But don't lose hope. At every moment, God provides a means of escape, even if all four of those human things are failing. It says 40 days and 40 nights, doesn't it? What does it mean, 40 days and 40 nights, that Jesus was left alone to be tempted by the devil? The days speak of all the good things that are going on in our lives. When we're prosperous, when everything is joyful, when everything is going well for us, and we're having great success, even then, Satan wants to throw us off our game and attack us there, to get us to fall into pride, or to get us to enjoy ourselves far too much, and then fall even greater. So even when we're boosted, you got to be careful. What does night mean? Night talks about when all those times, when temptations are great, when hardships are going in us, when we're sad, when everything is going wrong within our lives, especially then, Satan wants to attack us. Because he's not going to say, oh, look at there, there's that poor little Christian who's there. He's having a tough day. I'll go ahead and back off. That's not what an enemy does. That's when he goes for the throat. He wants to throw us off totally. So at every moment, whether it's day or night, whether it's a moment of trouble or whether it's a moment of joy, whether it's a time where we're doing everything really great or a time where everything is going wrong, we have to be on guard. Because 40 days and 40 nights, our Lord was tempted. It's going to be the same for you and me. Next word. Tempted by whom? Satan. It's important that the word Satan is used there. He doesn't say devil, which means the one who divides. He uses the word Satan. What does the word Satan mean? Satan means the adversary, or in another way, the one who resists. one who resists. So what is Satan wanting to do? He's an adversary. He's an opponent who wants to resist us. He wants to resist what with us? He wants to resist your happiness, my happiness, which can only be found in God in heaven above and in the heaven that rests within our hearts when we're in the right relationship. Satan resists holiness, which is God's plan for us to make us complete, to make us fulfilled, even as we sojourn in this difficult life. Satan resists our growth in a relationship with Jesus, which is the only relationship which can ever complete you. The only relationship that can answer the yearning questions of the human heart to say, why am I here? What am I made for? What is my direction? Satan resists us to get us to say, this Catholic life is hard, that I might as well not try because it's just too difficult. Or holiness, the life that God has called me to, that's difficult. I should just settle with where I'm at because that's good enough. Where I'm at is good enough, isn't it? Let me just remain where I am because that thing hurts. I don't need to go any further. I'm comfortable where I'm at. But to do so, Satan resists us so that we don't make any progress and resists us so that maybe we'll fall into greater sin. But is resistance a bad thing always? Coach, is it a bad thing to have resistance? Every athlete will tell you, resistance is a good thing. Resistance training is a great thing. Because what happens when we are resisted, it helps us to build muscle when we overcome the object of our resistance. So even though Satan is resisting us and pushing against us, when we push back and do not allow ourselves to be overcome by the power that comes from God, then those spiritual muscles become stronger and stronger. And by that resistance, you and I are formed more and more into the image of Christ Jesus that desires us to be greater and greater. It speaks in the scriptures, moving from one form of glory to another form of glory. And finally, it says here, Jesus was among the wild beasts. Why was he among the wild beasts? This means that because there were wild beasts seeking to destroy him at every moment, he could never let his guard down. Jesus wasn't just tempted in the three times we see in the Gospel of Matthew. At the very end, he was tempted continually, 40 days and 40 nights all throughout. It was only those three times at the very end when the evil devil himself showed up in person. All throughout, the other demons were attacking him and assailing him. All throughout the 40 days, the wild beasts that were there. There were always creatures prowling about seeking to destroy us. There will always be wild beasts, enemies of your soul and mine, attacking us, prowling about to devour us. So we can't rest in our spiritual life until finally we're in Christ Jesus, the only rest of the soul. And the last line of that gospel is the most important for you to hear it in that. What does it say right there? That last little phrase at the end of that second verse, verse 13. It says, and angels of God, they minister to him. This reminds you and me, we're not alone. Danny, in your spiritual life, you're not alone. You're not alone in any way, at any moment. The angels of God are there to minister unto you, just like they were ministering with Christ. Satan isn't the only one who's there contending with us in the desert in this Lent. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says this. It says, angels are sent to minister to those who are destined for salvation. Destined for salvation. Those who are called to inherit salvation. You have an angel. I have an angel. All of us have angels to minister in us, to give us the graces from God. Every time you and me are tempted, we need to remember that the angels, they're new to us, that they're ready to minister to us, that they're sent by God to give us strength, not our own strength, but that which comes directly from God, the encouragements to keep going forward and to not let up against that resistance of the adversary, the Satan. Jesus was sent by the Holy Spirit to live among wild beasts as a man. But because Jesus is also God, he uses angels to strengthen humanity and every human being against all the wiles, the tactics, the stratagems of the devil. Psalm 91 says this. Deacon Marvin and I pray this often and get courage from us in Psalms. It says this. Psalm 91 says, for God shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, raise you up, lest you should dash your foot even against a stone. So even those little difficulties, those frustrations where we're stubbing our foot spiritually, God has given us angels to not even fall into that little tiny sin. That's the means of escape that St. Paul is referring to at every moment so that we don't have to fall into temptation. So when you and I feel like we're alone, when we feel like our temptation just seems too strong, when we think that we don't have any power left, any energy left to resist the temptation, and that bestial nature within us wants to throw us into some sin, remember that God has provided you a means of escape in the ministry of angels who are always there to give you the strength you need. Maybe it's been a long time since you prayed to your guardian angel. Maybe you only learned it at your first Holy Communion and then left that prayer aside. It's time to pick that prayer back up. Time to pick that prayer back up. And to pray it again, especially during this Lent when we feel that we're weak and we have no resistance to the evil spirits that are trying to attack us. If you remember that prayer, I want us all to pray that prayer together right now so we can begin our Lent on this first Sunday of the 40 days all together well, calling upon all the helps that are here to get us through these 40 days. Let's pray. Angel of God, my guardian savior, to whom God our Father commits me here, ever this day he hath my son, to light, to guard, to rule, and to guide. Amen. Take that prayer this Lent. Remember that prayer that was taught to you just as a child, and is just as powerful for you now, even through the age which you attain now, under the end. Whenever you think yourself that you're too alone, lost in a desert place, all in an arid, dry place, where you can't feel the grace of the God, when you're too weak to fight against the resistance of Satan, who just keeps nagging and nagging against you, when you feel you're so often attacked by the wild beast that won't give you a moment's rest, not even you're not alone. Call upon the angels of God, which have indeed been sent to each and every one of you, to minister to you in the very midst of your weakness. Let's pray a prayer again. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day, be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, and to guide. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.